إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Verily the praise belongs to Allah. We praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness, and we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray, and whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that he has no partners or associates. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his servant and his messenger. This evening, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, this is our fourth session, reading from the book Al-Qur'an, Hablullah Al-Mamdood, yani the Qur'an, Allah's outstretched rope. And this is the first part of this topic, and the second part being Kana Khuluquhu Al-Qur'an, yani his, that is the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his character was the Quran. So we're reading from what has been presented to us by our Shaykh Abdul Razzaq, the son of Shaykh Abdul Muhsin Al-Abad Al-Badr, hafidhahumullah, may Allah protect and preserve both of them. Yani tonight our topic is centered around, yani primarily, the issue of how one may seek healing of their sicknesses, the sicknesses of the heart, through the Qur'an. And it is a continuation of what we were discussing last week concerning, yani, the tilawatu Qur'an in reality is more than just reading or recitation. Rather, it requires pondering, reflection, contemplation, understanding, comprehension, and acting upon what, yani, we are reading in the Qur'an. And likewise, yani, seeking the Qur'an as a means of cure or healing, as a remedy, as a treatment for the sicknesses of the heart, require more than just, alaykum salam, reading and recitation. Rather, it requires, yani, pondering and contemplation and comprehension, and acting upon what we found in the Qur'an. And before we go to our topic for tonight, we want to quickly look at some of the points that we discussed last week from the question and study guide for lecture number 3. The first question being, memorize the ayah in which Allah mentions those who have been given the book, recite it, haqqa tilawati, yani from Surah Al-Baqarah, second surah, 121st ayat, ya Musa, naam, naam.
الذين آتيناهم الكتاب يتلونه حق تلاوته أولئك يؤمنون به.
نعم. The meaning of this ayat, somebody else. What is the meaning of this ayat? يعني الذين آتيناهم الكتاب يتلونه حق تلاوته. What is the meaning of this ayat? نعم مصطفى. Those who we have given the book, يعني they recite it in the way that it should be recited. حَقَّ تِلَاوَتِهِ حَقَّ تِلَاوَتِهِ. And these are those, these are those who believe in it. طيب. Question number 2. Mention briefly the 3 matters without which this حَقَّ تِلَاوَتِهِ will not be complete and perfect. The 3 matters without which Sa'd. Reciting slowly
in a beautiful manner.
Reciting each letter and reciting in a beautiful manner. Naam. Husnu. Yani tartili.
And
memorizing it. Naam.
The second one is you, just more obligatory, is that you have to ponder upon its, each word that you recite and not be in a rush to finish a certain portion that you can recite.
The second part is pondering over what you are reading or reciting and not being in a hurry to just finish the reading, yani pondering over what you are reading, thinking about it, reflecting upon it, contemplation. Naam. And the third? And the third of them is acting upon what you have learned from the Qur'an, what you have read in the Qur'an. Yani, acting in accordance with it. Naam. And really, this particular yani matter, what is required in recitation or reading of the Qur'an, yani these three affairs, are of the utmost importance. If we stayed on this point for a few more weeks, it would be beneficial. Because this is of the utmost importance, that we actually apply this yani affair yani in our lives, that we actually read and recite the Qur'an with care, proper recitation, but not sufficing with that, but pondering, reflecting, contemplating, thinking over what we're reading, trying to understand, to comprehend, so that we may act upon it, so we may act in accordance with it. Question number three, discuss briefly what should and what should not be the concerns of the person while reciting the Qur'an. What should be and what should not be the concerns of the person while reciting the Qur'an. Naam, Salahuddin. We should not be concerned with when will I finish reciting. Naam. Uh-huh. Anything else? Anything else? Huh? And the opposite?
Is when will I be understand and comply with the message?
Yani, what we should be concerned about is when will I understand the message? When will I comprehend the ayat and their meanings and their indications? Yani, when will I comprehend? When will I understand? When will I grasp? Yani, when will I take heed and take a warning from? When will I learn a lesson from that which I am reading in the Qur'an? When will I take on the characteristics that Allah mentions of the believers in the Qur'an? Such as those who are truthful and those who are God-fearing. Uh-huh. Dhakirina. Those who remember Allah. Musallina. And those who pray. And those who yatasaddaquna. Those who fast and give charity. And so on. Yani, when will I actually take on these characteristics that we are reading about in the Qur'an that Allah is describing His servants with? This is what we should be concerned about. Yani, when will my heart be affected by what I am reading in the Qur'an? When will I, yani, take on the application of what I am reading in the Qur'an? And this also, yani, this particular point is of the utmost importance, that we remind ourselves, because inshallah, hopefully we're reading the Qur'an every day. But are we, yani, thinking about these matters? Yani, the lessons, the warnings, the reminders, the admonitions that we should be taking, the characteristics of the believers, of the ibadur rahman, of the mu'minun, that Allah describes in the Qur'an. Question number four, discuss the statement of Al-Allama Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah concerning reading the Qur'an with reflection. Yani, discuss the statement of Al-Allama Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah that he said concerning, yani his statement concerning reading the Qur'an with reflection. Naam. Somebody else, Abdul Haq, naam.
So he said that the recitation of the Quran with reflection.
The recitation of one ayah of the Quran with reflection, with contemplation and understanding is better than
reciting the whole
Quran
without understanding,
without reflection or contemplation. And he said also that it did,
So he said that it's better to understand the Quran and use it as a medicine for the heart and our soul, by with one ayah, then reciting
without understanding. Naam. Yani, reflecting on the Quran and using it as a medicine or a treatment or a cure for ourselves, is better than reciting without contemplation or reflection, from which in which case we will get no benefit. Now, Abdul Halim?
He said, actually, it is more beneficial to the heart and more inviting to attain iman than tasting Quran sweetness.
And he also said that it is what? More beneficial to the heart. Yani reciting one ayah from the Quran with reflection and contemplation and comprehension and understanding is actually, yani, more beneficial for the heart than reciting the whole Quran without contemplation or reflection or understanding. And it is also more conducive to achieving iman and to tasting the sweetness of the recitation of the Quran. Yani, reciting with contemplation is more likely to lead to a person achieving some amount of iman than the person reciting Quran day and night without reflection, without contemplation, without comprehension, without understanding what is being recited. And it is more likely and more conducive that a person, and it's more likely that a person is going to taste the sweetness of the recitation of the Quran if you recite it with contemplation and reflection rather than just enjoying the sounds. Na'am. Mention the ayah, question number 5, mention the ayah which is reported to have been recited by the Prophet ﷺ in his qiyam for the whole night. Naam, Sa'ad. Naam, meaning of this ayat, and if you punish them, they are your servants, yani that you can do with as you will, and you know their condition and whether they are deserving of it or not. Naam.
But if you forgive them, you are the greatest, and you are the highest, the greatest.
Al Aziz, Al Hakim. Naam. And if you, yani, pardon them, if you forgive them, if you grant them forgiveness, then indeed you are Al Aziz, Al Hakim, yani the one who has the might, the ability, to the power to punish if you will. And therefore your forgiveness of them is yani a real forgiveness, because you have the ability to punish, to call to account. And you are Al-Hakim, yani the one who with wisdom yani either punishes or pardons. Yani puts everything in its right place, pardoning those who deserve pardoning and punishing those who deserve punishment. Naam. Question number 6. Discuss the story of a man who recited Surah Al-Ikhlas for an entire night, the hadith of Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiyallahu anhu, reported by al-Bukhari. Naam. Naam, Mustafa, first Mustafa on this side.
One sahaba, heard another sahaba, we saw him swat with the class for the whole night.
Naam.
So, he went to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was curious about that matter, and he told the Prophet, and the Prophet told him that
وَالَّذِي نَفْسِ بِيَدِهِ. What is the meaning? Yeah, you go, what's the meaning of
it?
Naam. Yani, it's reported that a man, he heard another man, and if among Sahaba, in the time of the Prophet ﷺ, reciting قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٍ Surah Al-Ikhlas, the whole night, repeating it over and over and over again. When the morning came, he went to the Prophet ﷺ and mentioned this to him. Yani, but in a way that it appeared as though he was thinking little of this, that it was insignificant, that that's all, he just keep reciting the same thing. And then the Prophet ﷺ said to him, anybody memorize in Arabic? Yeah. Now, Mustafa. Now, I don't mean the whole, what did the Prophet say to him? Walladhi nafsi? Thuluth al-Qur'an. Naam. The Prophet ﷺ said, I swear by the one in whose hand is my soul, indeed it is equal to one third of the Qur'an. Yani that which somebody considered as insignificant, yani the Prophet ﷺ said, إِنَّهَا لَتَعَدِلُ ثُلُثَ الْقُرْآنِ. Question number 7. Memorize the statement of Al-Imam Al-Hasan Al-Basri rahimahullah concerning the purpose for which the Qur'an was revealed. The statement, yani memorize. Naam, Musa.
Unzila al-Qur'an ليعمل به
فاتخذوا
تلاوته عملا.
عملا. نعم. يعني the meaning of this, somebody else. What is the meaning? أنزل القرآن ليعمل به. Meaning, Abdul Haq?
The Quran was sent that, to be worked with.
The Quran was sent, it was revealed, it was sent down for the purpose of it to be acted upon. To act upon it, naam.
So take its recitation as
it didn't give. Naam, so take its عَمَلًا يعني meaning, make the recitation of Quran be in action. Actualize it, not just يعني reciting on your tongue. Actualize it, put it into action. Put it into action. Yani the Quran was sent down to be acted upon. And also so that we may be from the Ahlul Quran. And this will not happen just by mere recitation. Rather it requires that a person recite it correctly, yes. Yani with care. But also that one ponders over what is being recited, reflects upon it, contemplates its meanings, comprehends and understands, and acts upon it. This will only happen if the person reflects and contemplates, understands and acts upon it. Question number 8, mention a dalil that al-ittiba, following or acting upon the Quran, is one of the meanings of at-tilawa. Naam, Ibrahim. Naam, the ayat, yani Surah Al-Shams, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says the meaning of which is wa-shamsi wa-duhaha, meaning? The sun and its yani duhaha, yani the light of at the brightness of light at the morning. Naam.
And the moon that follows it.
And the moon wal qamar idha talaha. Yani idha talaha, the moon follows it. Yani talaha here means what? Tabi'aha. Tabi'aha. Yani the moon tabi'a ash-shams. It follows the shams. So here, yani at-tilawa, the meaning of tilawa is al-ittiba'. And this is from the meanings of at-tilawa, al-ittiba', following. Yani adhering, sticking to, being in compliance, yani with that affair. And the last question discussed the statement of Abdul ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu concerning what is expected of a believer when he hears the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu. What is expected of the believer when he hears the words, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu? Naam, Siddiq.
To the command, whether it is to avoid something, or whether it is a prohibition, or whether it is to do something.
Naam, that he should pay attention to what is being coming after this, because it is, yani, either a something good, khair, that we are being commanded with, or it is something evil that we are being prohibited from. Anybody memorize this statement of Abdul ibn Mas'ud as the Shaykh presented it here? Yani, naam, Musa.
إذا سمعت الله يقول يا أيها الذين آمنوا فأرعها سمعك فإنه إما خير يأمر بها به أو شر تنهى عنه
نعم. Okay, so these are some of the points that we mentioned last week, and yani tonight, inshallah, we're going to go to the next section of what the Shaykh mentioned concerning the description of the Quran as shifa'un, that the Quran is a means of healing. Yani, it is a means of curing. Naam. Book. Yeah, there are. Does somebody know where that box? There was still some Arabic copies of the book. Anybody? Is that box there? Is Khalid here?
No more.
No more? I thought I had some, but I don't know. Maybe not. No, I don't know. Okay, just Jenny, before we read from where we left off last week, oh, by the way, let me just mention that last week we read from the English translation from the bottom of page 32 to the top of page 45. So that's where we're going to start in the English translation, on the top of page 45. And in the Arabic, we read last week from the bottom of page 16 to the top of page 23. So today, inshallah, we're going to stop or start near the top or a little ways down from the top of page 23. But before we read that, I just want to quickly comment. I say quickly, but it might not be so quickly, but of benefit, no doubt. Concerning the topic that we discussed last week, I want to emphasize this matter by reading some notes from the explanation of Sittatul Usul by Sheikh Salih Al-Fawzan, Hafidhullah, may Allah protect and preserve him. And he made some comments in the introduction to his explanation of this book that are really timely and of great benefit. I'm going to read a little bit of it and I'm going to skip some of it just for the sake of time. After he quotes the opening of the book by Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, من أعجب العجاب وأكبر الآيات الدالة على قدرة الملك الغلاب الغلاب ستة الأصول بينها الله تعالى بيانا واضحا للعوام فوق ما يظن الظانون ثم بعد هذا غلط فيها كثير من أذكياء العالم وعقلاء بني آدم إلا أقل القليل. The essence of the core of what he's saying here is from the most amazing of affairs and the greatest signs that point to the greatness of the power of Al-Malik Al-Ghallab, that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, are these six fundamentals that Allah has made clear, perfectly clear, crystal clear for the common people beyond what anybody can imagine. And then after this, some of the most intelligent of all of the human beings, have fallen into error concerning it after Allah made it crystal clear, except a very, very small amount of people. Sheikh Salih Al-Fawzan commented on this in his introduction to the book after praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and asking for salat and salam on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He says, there's no doubt that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed this Quran as a clarification of everything, and that the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam made clear this Quran with a clarification that is comprehensive. And from the greatest of the things that Allah made clear in the Quran is the issue of at-tawheed and shirk. Tawheed being the foundation of Islam and the foundation of the deen. And everything else of one's actions are built upon this. And the Shaykh goes on to say, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made this matter clear in the Quran. And yet, when nas يقرؤون هذا القرآن ويرددونه ولكن قل من يتنبه لهذا البيان. I'm not reading from the book, I'm reading from the explanation, in case somebody just came in. Excellent introduction of Sheikh Salih Al-Fawzan to Al-Usul Al-Sitta. And he's saying that the people, after Allah made this clarification, he said, the people are reading this Quran and they are repeating it over and over and over again. وَلَكِنْ قَلَّ مَنْ يَتَنَبَّهُ لِهَذَا الْبَيَانِ But few are those who paid attention to this clarification that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has brought in the Qur'an. And for this reason, you find كَثِيرًا مِنَ النَّاسِ يَقْرَؤُونَ الْقُرْآنِ وَيَقَعُونَ فِي الشِّرْكِ وَيُخِلُّونَ بِالتَّوْهِيدِ So you find people reading the Qur'an and still they are falling into shirk. And they are violating the tawheed. مَا أَنَّ هَذَا الْأَمْرُ وَاضِحٌ فِي كِتَابِ اللَّهِ وَفِي سُنَّةِ رَسُولِهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ لِأَنَّهُمْ يَمْشُونَ عَلَى الْعَوَائِدِ وَمَا وَجَدُوا عَلَيْهِ آبَاؤُهُمْ وَمَشَايِخَهُمْ And this is because, this is in spite of the fact that this matter has been made crystal clear in the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم, and that is because the people, they are following the traditions of the people who came before them, that which they found their ancestors and their mashayikh upon. And then the Shaykh goes on to say, فَالْعَصُلْ عِنْدَهُمْ مَا وَجِدُوا عَلَيْهِ آبَاءَهُمْ وَمَشَايِخَهُمْ وَأَهْلُ بَلَدِهِمْ That which they stand upon as their foundation, is what they found their fathers upon, their teachers upon, and the people of their land upon. Which we, what we find in most of the Muslim countries today. And the people are following what they found their ancestors upon. وَلَا يُفَكِّرُونَ فِي يَامٍ مِنَ الْأَيَّامِ أَنْ يَتَأَمَّلُوا وَيَتَدَبَّرُوا الْقُرْآنِ. And they didn't even consider one day out of the days. Yani not once did they consider pondering, reflecting, contemplating on this Qur'an. وَيَعْرِضُ عَلَيْهِ مَا كَانَ عَلَيْهِ النَّاسِ. Nor yani comparing or considering or weighing what the people are upon with what is in the Qur'an. Is it, yani what they found their people upon, is it correct or is it not correct? Rather, they are just blindly following their fathers and their ancestors. The Shaykh says, وَاَعْتَبَرُوا أَنَّ الْقُرْآنِ إِنَّمَا يُقْرَى لِلْتَبَرُّكِ وَحُصُولَ الْأَجْرِ بِالْتِلَاوَةِ. Yani they considered that the Qur'an is only to be read for blessings. Yani the barakah of reading Qur'an. In order to achieve the ajr, the reward of recitation of the Qur'an. Yani how many of the people read Qur'an? And they said, for every letter of the Qur'an, there's what? Hasana. وَالْعَشْرِ بِعَشْرِ أَمْثَالِهَا. Every letter, there's a hasana. And every hasana will be multiplied by 10. Or as much as Allah wills. Yani how many people are reciting the Qur'an just for the ajr, just for the barakah? وَلَيْسَ الْمَقْصُودُ أَنَّهُ يُقْرَى لِلْتَدَبُّرْ وَالْعَمَلْ بِمَا فِيهِ. And they didn't have as their maqsood, their intention, their goal or their objective, that the Qur'an should be read to be reflected upon and to act upon what is contained within it. They didn't consider this matter. And this is what we find ourselves. And when I say ourselves, I mean the Muslims and probably some of us, at least sometimes, that we are reciting Qur'an for the purpose of the ajr, of the reward of tilawatul Qur'an, of reciting the Qur'an, without considering that the real purpose, the real objective of recitation of Qur'an is so that one will ponder and reflect and consider and contemplate and think about what is being recited, so that we can comprehend and understand in order to act upon it. The Shaykh said, قَلَّ مِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَقْرَى الْقُرْآنَ لِهَذَا الْغَرْضِ. Few are the people who read the Qur'an with this objective. Few are the people who read the Qur'an with this objective. May Allah make us from those few. وَإِنَّمَا يَقْرَؤُونَ لِلْتَبَرُّكْ بِهِ. Rather, they are only reading it for the barakah, the blessing that you get from reading Qur'an. وَالتَّلَذُّذْ بِسَوْتِ الْقَارِ. Or to enjoy the voice of the reciter. وَتَرَنُّنْ. يعني to chant it. أَوْ لِقِرَاءَتِهِ عَلَى الْمَرْضَى لِلْعِلَاجِ. Or, يعني it's recitation upon those who are sick as a means of cure. أَمَّا أَنْ يُقْرَى لِلْعَمَلْ بِهِ وَالتَّدَبُّرْ وَالصُّدُورْ عَمَّا فِيهِ وَأَرْضْ مَا عَلَيْهِ النَّاسِ عَلَى هَذَا الْقُرْآنِ فَهَذَا لَا يُوجَدْ إِلَّا فِي قَلِيلٍ مِّنَ النَّاسِ. And the Shaykh is saying what? As far as reciting the Qur'an for the purpose, with the intent and the objective in mind, that the recitation of reading of Qur'an is so that we may act upon it, so that we may reflect upon it, comprehend it, understand what is being yani recited, and to compare or to consider or to weigh the deeds of the people by the Qur'an. Yani, are our deeds correct or incorrect based on what is in the Qur'an? He said, this is not found except amongst a few of the people. And he's saying, I'm not saying that this doesn't exist, that there are no people, but they are very, very few. For this reason, you find the Qur'an, yani, in one wadi, in a valley, and the deeds of the people in another valley. Yani distance, there's nothing, they have nothing to do with one another. The actions of the people have nothing to do with what is found in the Qur'an. And then the Shaykh goes on to talk about Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab and his calling to the people by what is in the Qur'an and how they considered that he is bringing a new religion. And then he goes on to say, and this is what we want to close with, and then return to our book, he says, فالشيخ, meaning Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab رحمه الله في هذه الكلمات يبين شيئا من هذا الأمر العجيب وأن الناس يقرؤون القرآن ويكثرون من قراءته ويختمونه ويحفظونه ويرتلونه ويركزون اهتمامهم بألفاظ القرآن وتجويده وأحكام المد. To the end of what he said, يعني he said that, يعني here the Shaykh Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab has brought these few words, يعني in this small book, to make clear this, يعني amazing affair, how Allah has made something so clear in the Quran, and the people are reading the Quran. They are reading the Quran, and they are reading it plentifully. يكثرون من قراءته. And they're not just reading it a little, they are reading it a lot. And they are completing the reading of the whole Quran. And they are memorizing it. And they are reciting it, يعني properly. And they are giving a lot of attention. يُرَكِّزُونَ اِحْتِمَامَهُمْ بِأَلْفَاظِ الْقُرْآنِ. But they are giving the attention to what? The, يعني, the words of the Quran, how they are to be recited. The rulings of tajweed, يعني, of the lengthening of vowels and combining of letters. And غُنَّ and إِقْلَاب and إِظْهَار and إِخْفَى, يعني the rules of tajweed. وَيَأْتَنُونَ بِهَذَا عِنَايَةً فَائِقَةً. وَهَذَا شَيْءٌ طَيِّبٌ. هَذَا شَيْءٌ طَيِّبٌ. وَلَكِنْ الْأَحَمْ وَالْمَقْصُودُ لَيْسَ هَذَا. يعني here the Shaykh is saying, and we want to make this point crystal clear, that the people are given so much care, an amazing amount of care to the way the Quran is recited according to the rules of tajweed. And the Shaykh says, وَهَذَا شَيْءٌ طَيِّبٌ. And this is something that is good. It is important, it is necessary that we recite the Quran properly. And some of us don't give even care to that, let alone reflection, contemplation, understanding the Quran. We don't even give care to proper recitation of the Quran to the extent that some people stand in front of the people and recite Quran in a way that would make a person cry if they understood how the Quran is to be recited. Because of no care. Yani some of us don't even have care about reciting the Quran properly. If a person is a new Muslim, they have a free pass. But if we have been Muslim for 10 and 15 and 20 years and we don't even recite Surah Al-Fatiha, close, not even close to how it should be recited, there's no excuse for this. There's no excuse for this. I'm saying that every one of us should give care to this matter. يعني a lot of care to it. As the Shaykh said, هذا شيء طيب ولكن الحمد والمقصود ليس هذا. But what is most important and what is intended by recitation of Quran is not the tajweed of Quran. That's not the most important matter. Though it is important and it is very good. والمقصود تدبر المعاني وتفقه في كتاب الله عز وجل وأرض أعمالنا وأعمال الناس على كتاب الله هل هي موافقة لكتاب الله أو مخالفة. يعني what is intended is to contemplate, to reflect and ponder over the meanings of the Quran. And التفقه يعني understanding the fiqh, the fahm of the Quran. يعني understanding what is meant in the book of Allah Azza wa Jalla, and then comparing the deeds of ourselves and the deeds of the people too. But first though, comparing our deeds and then the deeds of the people with the book of Allah. Are our deeds in agreement with the book of Allah, or are they in contradiction to it? هَذَا هُوَ الْمَثْلُوبُ. This is what is required, and that we correct our affairs. And that we also bring to the attention of the people their mistakes, yani where they have contradicted the Quran or in opposition to it, and not for the purpose of yani spreading the faults of the people, nor yani speaking ill of the people, but rather with the intention of al-islah wal-nasiha, yani our intention yani in correcting the people's errors or mistakes is with the intention of rectification, and not with the intention of yani spreading the faults of others. This is what I wanted to share with us, and yani to emphasize the great importance of the topic that we discussed last week. I hope that yani we will take it personally to heart, and that we consider the importance of yani our relationship to the Quran and how we should yani approach it. Okay, here again yani today inshallah we're going to read from the top of page 45 in the English translation, and from the top or the middle, yani one third down the page, on page 23 in the Arabic reading. ثُمَّ إِنَّ اللَّهَ سُبْحَانُهُ وَتَعَالَى قَدْ وَصَفَ هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ بِأَنَّهُ شِفَاءٌ لِمَا فِي الصُّدُورِ. يعني this is the new topic, the Shaykh, he says, indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has described this Qur'an with a description that it is shifa'un. Yani it is a means of cure, a healing for that which is in the chest. Yani, and the Qur'an is a healing even for physical ailments. But here we're talking about what? The sicknesses, naam, that are internal in the human being. Yani the spirit and the soul. The heart. Shifa'un lima fi sudur. And here the Shaykh mentions, yani from the Quran, from Surah Al-Isra, 17th Surah, 82nd Ayat. وَنُنَزِّلُ مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ مَا هُوَ شِفَاءٌ وَرَحْمَةٌ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَلَا يَزِيدُ الظَّالِمِينَ إِلَّا خَسَارًا. That indeed we have, yani we send down from the Qur'an that which is a healing and a mercy for the believers, that which is a healing and a mercy, للمؤمنين, yani for the people of Iman. Yani a person has to be concerned about their Iman. If they want, yani the Qur'an to be a healing and a rahmah for them, then they should make sure that they are from the people of Iman. Guard and protect and preserve and nurture one's Iman. And it will not increase the zalimina, the wrongdoers, except in loss. Yani the Qur'an will not increase them, except khasara. Yani here the Shaykh, he quotes from Surah Isra, 17th Surah, 82nd Ayat, and then he quotes from Surah Fussilat, 41st Surah, 44th Ayat, the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, قُلْ هُوَ لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا هُدًى وَشِفَاءٌ. Say, yani Allah is ordering the Prophet ﷺ to say to the people that this Qur'an is for those who believe, a huda, a means of guidance, and shifa'un, a healing. And finally he quotes from Surah Yunus, 11th Surah, 57th Ayat, يَقُولُ جَلَّ وَعَلَى وَشِفَاءٌ لِمَا فِي الصُّدُورِ. And it is a healing for that which is in the chest, in the breasts, yani in the hearts of the human beings. Here the Shaykh, he quotes from Qatada. يقول قتادة رحمه الله إن القرآن يدلكم على دائكم ودوائكم. يعني indeed the Quran points you to. يعني يدلكم على دائكم. It points out to you دائكم. يعني your sickness or illness or disease. ودوائكم. And also the cure for it. أما دائكم. يعني the your sicknesses, your illnesses, your disease, فذنوبكم, it is your sins, وأما دواءكم فالاستغفار, فالاستغفار. يعني your sicknesses are your sins, and the cure for it is seeking forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Qatada ibn Du'ama, he is one of the Huffaz, يعني from the scholars of Hadith, and Al-Dhahabi mentions, يعني him with these words, that he was Hafiz al-Asr, Qudwatul Mufassirin wal Muhaddithin. Yani that he was the preserver, yani the memorizer of his time, and he was an example for the scholars of Tafsir and an example for the scholars of Hadith, yani to be followed, yani in his footsteps. He said what? That the Quran points you to your diseases and to its cures. As far as your diseases, it is your sins. And as far as its cures, it is seeking forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He was from the Tabi'een, and it is said that he died in the year 110, and it is also said that he died in the year 118. Wallahu alam. The Shaykh says, وَالْأَمْرَادُ الَّتِي تُصِيبُ الْقَلْبُ كَثِيرَةٌ وَلَكِنَّهَا تَرْجِعُ إِلَى نَوْعَيْنِ. Yani the sicknesses that afflict the heart are many. The sicknesses that afflict the heart are many. However, they all go back to two types, or two categories, or two divisions of sickness. أَمْرَادُ الشَّهَوَاتِ وَأَمْرَادُ الشُّبُهَاتِ وَالدَّوَاءَ النَّاجِعِ وَالْبَلْسَمَ الشَّافِعِ لِلْمَرْضَيْنِ الْقُرْآنِ الْكَرِيمِ. Yani the sicknesses of the heart are many, but they all go back to two categories of sicknesses. Yani the sicknesses of shahwat, desires. People, yani doing something because yani they have a desire, even though they know that it is wrong, following one's lower desires. And the sicknesses of the shubuhat, yani the sicknesses that are caused by the doubtful matters that are a result of not having proper knowledge. These two types of sicknesses, both of them, the cure for them, that which is beneficial and that which is an effective cure for both of these two types of diseases is the Qur'an. Yani the sickness of shahawat, yani following desires, is cured by the Qur'an by the increase of iman and taqwa. Yani the person who is strong in iman and taqwa, they will not be a victim to following their desires. And the sickness of shubahat, yani being confused and lost due to doubtful matters, yani it is cured by knowledge that the Qur'an brings, correct and proper knowledge. So the person who has strong iman and taqwa and knowledge of the Qur'an and the sunnah, then they will, to a great extent, yani be free from both of these two types of diseases by going back to yani the Qur'an, recitation of the Qur'an, contemplation, reflection, pondering, comprehension, understanding and application of what we learn from the Qur'an. فَالْقُرْآنَ فِيهِ مُدَاوَاتٌ لِلْقُلُوبِ وَشِفَاءٌ لِمَا فِي الصُّدُورِ وَلَكِنْ مَتَى يَحْصُلُ الْإِسْتِشْفَاءُ وَالتَّدَاوِي بِهِ وَكَيْفَ يُسْتَشْفَى مِنْ هَذِهِ الْأَمْرَاضِ بِكِتَابِ اللَّهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى. Yani the Quran contains yani the cure, yani the treatment for the sicknesses of the hearts. It contains the cure for that which is in the chest, yani internally within the human being. However, when will this yani process of curing, healing be achieved? Yani treating oneself by the Quran, when will it be achieved? When will it be realized? How will a person find a cure or a healing from these sicknesses through the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? When would this take place? How would this take place? Yani is it that a person just reads the Quran and then they will be healed? Or what is the process? What has to be done? What is required? Well, we already know that the proper recitation of Quran requires not just reading the Quran, pronouncing the words of Quran, but rather it requires serious, sincere contemplation, reflecting on what is reading, seeking to understand the meanings so that one can apply it. The Shaykh says, is it possible? يعني هل يمكن أن يتحقق للقلب شفاء بالقرآن وواقع المرء مع القرآن أنه لا يجاوز تراقيه ويتحرك به لسانه فقط أما قلبه فمحروم منه هيهات هيهات. Yani, is it possible that a person can realize, can actualize, achieve, yani, a cure for the heart by the Qur'an, while the reality of that person with the Qur'an is that his recitation of the Qur'an doesn't go beyond his collarbone? Yani, his tongue is moving with the recitation of the Qur'an alone. Yani, the tongue alone has movement as far as the heart, well, it is deprived from the Qur'an. So there is no way that cure will take place like this. بَلْ لَا بُدَّ أَنْ يَصِلَ الْقُرْآنَ إِلَى الْقَلْبِ. And this is the key here, the Shaykh says here, and he's going to repeat this meaning again and again. It is of necessity that the Qur'an reaches the heart. Yani there will be no cure, there is no real benefit. Yani there is no achievement of iman or tasting the sweetness of tilawatul Qur'an. A person's life will not change except that the Qur'an reaches the heart. لا بد أن يصل القرآن إلى القلب. لا بد أن يتحرك القلب بآيات القرآن ومعانيه. Yani it is of necessity that the heart be moved by the ayat of the Qur'an and its meanings. Yani understanding, comprehension of the meaning of what is intended by the ayat of Quran. That the heart be moved by the indications, the things that the Quran points to, and the implicit meanings of the Quran, and the admonitions of the Quran, and the reminders of the Quran. It is of necessity that the heart be moved by this, so that يعني تتحرك فيه الحياة, so that the real life of the human being is يعني moved, is put in motion, is given يعني life. وحتى تزول عنه الأمراض وتذهب عنه الأسقام, so that the sicknesses and the diseases will decease, or will يعني cease to exist, and they will go away. فإن الآية إن وقعت في القلب موقعا عظيما عملت فيه عملا عجيبا. يعني indeed, if an ayat of the Quran, I don't know how to translate this, وقعت في القلب موقعا عظيما, يعني if the person reads an ayah from the Quran and it affects their heart, يعني in a way, in a big way, in a major way, if it affects their heart, يعني وقعت في القلب, يعني it falls upon the heart, it affects the heart, موقعا عظيما, يعني in a great way, then it will يعني act upon, it will cause يعني an amazing effect upon the heart. It will cause an amazing effect upon the heart. It's reported by Al-Bukhari رحمه الله عن جبير ابن متعم رضي الله عنه. He said, سمعت النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يقرأ في المغرب بالطور. فلما بلغ هذه الآية, يعني the saying of Allah, يعني جبير بن متعم رضي الله عنه, may Allah be pleased with him, he said, I heard the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم reciting in the Maghrib prayer with Surah Tur. And when he reached this ayat, يعني أم خلقوا من غير شيء أم هم الخالقون, يعني meaning have they been created من غير شيء, يعني without a creator, were they created without a creator, they were created from nothing, أم هم الخالقون, or did they create themselves. يعني Sheikh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'di says that there are only three possibilities here, يعني that either there's a creator that created you, or you created yourself. يعني after that, what else is left? And that's what, يعني if they're saying that they didn't create themselves, obviously, and they're denying that there's a creator, so then they have no really other alternative. This is the argument that Allah is making against them. يعني when he read this ayat in the Maghrib prayer, أَمْ خُلِقُوا مِنْ غَيْرِ شَيْءٍ, have they been created from nothing, يعني without a creator, أَمْ هُمُ الْخَالِقُونَ, or are they the creators of them, of their own selves, أَمْ خَلَقُوا السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ بَلْ لَا يُوقِنُونَ, or are they the creators of the heavens and earth, rather they do not have any certainty, أَمْ عَنْدَهُمْ خَزَائِنُ رَبِّكَ أَمْ هُمُ الْمُسَيْطِرُونَ, or do they have with them, يعني do they control the treasures of their Rabb, or are they those who have complete authority in the land. يعني this is he said that when he heard the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم reciting these ayat, كَادَ قَلْبِي أَنْ يَتِيرُ, my heart almost يعني took off, يعني يطير, flew, يعني flying, was on the verge of taking off, flying. يعني meaning it moved his heart to such an extent that it was as though his heart was going to fly out of his chest. And this يعني hadith makes us to understand the power of the Quran. Even just a few ayats can affect a person's heart in such a way that it will move them and it will motivate them and it will cause that person يعني to do what is necessary in order to earn the pleasure of Allah and to save themselves from His displeasure. وَعَلَيْهِ أَنْ يَتَدَاوَ مِنْهُ بِحَسَبْ مَرْضِهِ. Here the Shaykh says, it is incumbent upon a person, knowing that the Qur'an is a means of healing, that it is a form of treatment, of cure for sicknesses, it is incumbent upon a person to treat their self, يعني to use the medicine or the treatment that's in accordance with their sickness. يعني the person's sickness has to be considered. يعني it's like any other medicine, every medicine is not good for every sickness. Rather, there are certain treatments that are good for certain illnesses, and there are certain medicines that are good for certain sicknesses. So a person has to treat themselves with the Qur'an in accordance with their sickness. So here the Shaykh gives some examples. Yani for example, these are just examples. If a person had yani the problem of having fear and delusion, such that they said, in the night, I am terrified. Yani a person, in the night they have fear and fright. And I am afraid of such and such and so and so. Then this person can treat themselves with the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Surah Ali Imran, 3rd Surah, 175th Ayat, for example, إِنَّمَا ذَلِكُمُ الشَّيْطَانُ يُخَوِّفُ أَوْلِيَاءَهُ فَلَا تَخَافُوهُمْ وَخَافُونِي إِن كُنْتُمْ مُؤْمِنِينَ. Yani the person who is terrified in the night, for example, or has yani baseless fear, then the Shaykh is saying, for example, that person can treat themselves for these fears by recitation of this saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the meaning of which is, indeed, this is only from shaitan, who is causing you to have fear of his awliya, of his allies, his yani soldiers, his troops, causing you to fear things that has no basis for fear. فَلَا تَخَافُوهُمْ. So Allah says, don't fear them. وَخَافُونِ. And fear me. إِن كُنْتُمْ مُؤْمِنِينَ. Yani, waiting some. If you are really believers, don't fear them. This is just something, these fears are from shaitan. Don't fear them. Rather, fear me in kuntum mu'mineen, if indeed you are believers. If a person reflects upon this, yani the Shaykh says, يُكَرِّرُ الْآيَاتِ حَتَّى يَمْتَلِيَ قَلْبُهُ خَوْفًا مِنَ اللَّهِ وَتَذْهَبْ عَنْ قَلْبِهِ الْمَخَاوِفِ الَّتِي يُلْقِيهَا وَيَزْرَعُهَا الشَّيْطَانِ فِي قَلْبِهِ. Yani the person repeats, for example, this ayat until their heart becomes filled with fear of Allah, and the fears that are in their heart that have been placed there and planted there by shaitan, yani will be removed. This requires yani repetition, contemplation, reflection, comprehension, understanding the meaning of the ayat and what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us here, that these fears are only from shaitan. So don't fear them, rather fear Allah if indeed you are believers. Second example the Shaykh gives, وَإِذَا وَجَدَ مِن نَفْسِهِ ضَعْفًا فِي التَّوَكُّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ يُرَدِّدُ قول الله تعالى ومن يتوكل على الله فهو حسبه. From Surah Al-Talaq, 65th Surah, 3rd Ayat. وعلى الله فتوكلوا إن كنتم مؤمنين. From Surah Al-Ma'idah, 5th Surah, 23rd Ayat. Yani the Shaykh is saying here, if a person finds that his problem, that his sickness, is that he is weak in his yani tawakkul ala Allah, in depending upon Allah, in trusting in Allah, in putting their trust in Allah, a person is weak in dependence upon Allah, then they could, for example, repeat the recitation of the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yani, وَمَن يَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ فَهُوَ حَسْبُهُ. Yani, whoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes a promise, yani, this is a shart and jawab al shart, وَمَن يَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ فَهُوَ حَسْبُهُ. Yani, whoever puts their trust in Allah, whoever depends upon Allah the way he should be depended upon, then Allah, He will be sufficient for the person. فَهُوَ حَسْبُ كَافِي. Yani, then He will be sufficient for him. So if a person recites this, the promise of Allah, that if you put your trust in Allah, Allah will suffice you. Repeating it, reflecting upon it, contemplating its meaning, until it reaches the heart, and the heart is filled with yani certainty, that if you put your trust in Allah, Allah will be sufficient for you. This would be a cure for the weakness of tawakkul ala Allah. And the same thing, yani from the second ayah the Shaykh mentions from Surah Al-Ma'idah. So put your trust in Allah, wa ala Allah fatawakkalu in kuntum mu'mineen. Yani if indeed you are believers, then what else is there except that you put your trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then the Shaykh gives a third example. وَإِذَا كَانَ مُبْتَلًا بِالنَّظَرْ إِلَى النِّسَاءِ وَتَتَحَرَّقُ فِيهِ أُمُورٌ Ya'ani, the person who has been the test, the trial that he is suffering from, is looking at women. And likewise, it could be women looking at men. Yani the Shaykh gives the example of what we normally talk about, but in reality it doesn't go one way. Yani if a person is suffering from the sickness, the temptation, the trial of looking at the opposite sex, and there are yani it causes yani certain movement in their inner being, yani that is a reaction from looking at the opposite sex, and they are struggling with their own self to free themselves from this sickness, then they may treat themselves with the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah An-Nur, 24th Surah, 30th Ayat, saying of Allah, كُلُّ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَغُدُّ مِنْ أَبَصَارِهِمْ وَيَحْفَظُوا فُرُوجَهُمْ ذَلِكَ أَزْكَى لَهُمْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ خَبِيرٌ بِمَا يَصْنَعُونَ. Yani, again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying to the Prophet, say to the believers. And these ayats are reminding us, some of the ayats that the Shaykh has chosen here is reminding us that for the person of Iman, then the Qur'an is a healing for the person of Iman. So Allah is saying to the Prophet, say to the believers, the people who have Iman, that they should lower their gaze. يَغُدُّ مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ. Yani this is a cure in itself, that don't look, put your eyesight on the ground. وَيَحْفَظُوا فُرُوجَهُمْ, and guard and protect and preserve their private parts. ذَلِكَ أَزْكَى لَكُمْ. This will be a means of purity. This is greater as a means of purity for them if they do this, the believers. And finally, know indeed that Allah is all aware of what they are doing. Yani that a person remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is first instructing the believers. Yani remind yourself that you are a mu'min, that you have iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then follow the instructions of Allah. Lower your gaze. Don't look. And know that this will be pure for you. Yani to protect you and purify you from corruption and filth and immorality. Indeed, know that Allah is well aware, yani, of what they are doing. Allah is well aware of what we are doing. Here again, the Shaykh gives this as an example for a certain type of sickness. Yani each type of sickness, yani, can be cured by the ayat or ayat that are appropriate for the sickness that they are suffering from. The Shaykh mentions one more example here, and that is if the person, the problem that they have with them is uquq liwalidayhi wa taqsirun fi haqqihima. Yani the person, what their problem is, that is it is disobedience to their parents, being yani not being kind, dutiful, obedient, generous to their parents, being disobedient to parents, and falling short in the rights of their parents over them, falling short and fulfilling the rights of their parents. And this is a serious sickness that is in the world today, especially in the Western society. Yani disobedience to parents, lack of respect for parents, especially when the children reach teenage. But sometimes even before that, we see in the streets yani the parents speaking yani ill to their children, using foul language, and the children yani reciprocating. And unfortunately, this sickness is not limited to the kuffar. Rather, it is also yani affected and afflicted the Muslims. Disobedience to parents and falling short in fulfilling the rights of parents. If that's a person's problem, then he should read with reflection the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Isra, 17th Surah, 24th Ayat, وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّا وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. Yani Allah has decreed that your Rabb has decreed that you worship no one or nothing except Him, and that you be kind to your parents. Here, the scholars of tafsir note that being dutiful and kind to parents is coupled along with yani the prohibition of worshipping other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then yani in the rest of the ayat, yani Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that if yani one of your parents or both of them reach old age, فَلَا تَقُلْ لَهُمَا أُفٍّ وَلَا تَنْهَرْهُمَا وَقُلْ لَهُمَا قَوْلًا كَرِيمًا وَاحْفَظْ لَهُمَا جُنَاحَ الذُّلْ مِنَ الرَّحْمَةِ وَقُلْ رَبِّ ارْحَمْهُمَا كَمَا رَبَّيَانِي Saghira. And here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us, yani first of the status of parents, and that He has coupled yani being kind to parents with yani the prohibition of worshipping anything besides Him. And then He tells us yani that if your parents reach old age, one of them or both of them, then don't even say a word of disrespect to them. Not even a small word of disrespect, let alone the actions that are worse than that, that we see from among some of the children towards their parents today. Don't raise your voice or shout at them, but rather speak to them, yani qawlan karima, yani speak to them with a word of honor, honorable speech, and lower the wing of humility for them out of mercy, and supplicate to them, yani saying, yani rabbi rahamhuma, O my Rabb, yani be merciful upon them, kama rabbayani saghira, just as they, yani took care of me, nurtured and nourished me when I was young. Yani this is an ayat that a person can reflect upon to remind them of the station and status of parents, and the necessity, the obligation of being kind to them and being respectful to them and not being disrespectful to them, and speaking to them yani in an honorable, noble way, and being humble, lowering the wing of humility to them out of mercy, and praying and supplicating for one's parents. Praying, and don't forget to pray and supplicate for one's parents. Yani the time is close to the adhan. Let me just read this last paragraph and then we'll stop here. إِذَا وَجَدَ فِي نَفْسِهِ ضَعْفًا فِي إِيمَانِهِ يُرَدِّدُ آيَاتٍ يُدَاوِي بِهَا نَفْسَهُ. Yani if a person finds in himself weakness of his iman, then he may repeat ayat which are a means of treatment or cure through them, yani a cure for himself. وَيُحَاوِلُ أَن تَصِلَ هَذِهِ الْآيَاتُ إِلَى قَلْبِهِ وَأَن تَتَمَكَّن فِيهِ. Yani the person should try hard, yani consciously making an effort to make these ayats reach the heart, and that yani these ayats yani take a place, establish themselves firmly in the heart. For indeed, if the ayat reaches the heart, then the cure, the healing will be achieved, and the reward yani also will be realized bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. And again, the shaykh here, he says yani the cure will be achieved and the reward will be realized by the permission of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So all of the problems that we have, al-mashakil kulluha, the cause, the sabab, the reason of all of our problems is the absence of the Quran reaching the heart. And this is what we started with, yani the necessity of the Quran reaching the heart. As far as the situation where the ayat, amma idha dakhalat al-ayatu al-qalb zal al-marud, yani if the ayah enters the heart, if it establishes a person in a person's heart, then the sickness will be removed no matter what it is. Sometimes a person's sickness might be kufr billahi, disbelief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So by the Quran, the person will transform their condition from that sickness to Islam, yani submission to Allah. Or a person's sickness might be an-nifaq, yani hypocrisy, and by the Quran, a person's condition may be transformed from yani nifaq to iman, to faith in Allah. Or a person's sickness might be al-fisq, wal-fujur, wal-ma'asi, wal-athaam, yani disobedience and wickedness and yani rebellion and wickedness and disobedience and sinning. And then by the Quran, the person's condition will be transformed to istiqamah wa hidayah wa salah wa ibadatin lillahi tabaraka wa ta'ala. The condition will be transformed to being upright and to right guidance and yani uprightness and the worship of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. All of this yani is if yani the person recites the Quran with consciousness of the reality that is the speech of Allah, and that they must yani recite the Quran with care, with respect, with contemplation, reflection, pondering over its meanings, seeking to understand the meanings, even going to the books of tafsir and to the scholars of the sunnah to understand the meaning, to comprehend the meanings in order to apply them in our lives. If a person allows the Quran to be used in this way, indeed it will benefit them. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت استغفرك وأتوب إليك.